You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
All right. It just puts a smile on my face every single time. Caleb Stein playing us in there to another edition of Origins Radio, our show here that talks about where food comes from and a little bit about where it's going. I'm really excited to be joined in the studio today by Julia Fetter, who is our executive director of Fresh Farm, the group that brings us some of the best and longest-lived farmers markets here in the D.C. area, and as such is an important part of our food system. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Yes, it's great to have you. And really interested to get into this because I think what I've believed for a long time is that farmers markets, and especially the markets that you guys run, which are how many here in D.C.?
15.
15. I think when we talk about local food and we talk about food in general, what we want from the food that we eat, I think farmers markets do such a great job of answering a lot of those questions. And I think whether we know it or not, whether we fully appreciate it, where we're in a farmers market, a lot of it, you know, a lot of the things that are troubling us right now about the food that we eat, it's happening there, and for a lot of really good reasons. But let's get back. Let's first talk about Iowa because we have to get that out of the way. We have, it's great to meet people that have a little Iowa.
Common roots.
Yes, exactly. So where are you from?
I'm from around Des Moines.
Beautiful.
Big city. What about you?
I'm from Iowa City.
Oh.
And, great that
the liberal haven.
Yeah, the dwindling liberal havens. Yeah. I always just used to feel a lot more.
It's such an interesting place.
Yes.
Yeah, my family is spread out from there now, but I actually just went back this summer, and it's changed. And I was looking at some...
You went back to Des Moines?
I went back to Des Moines. Uh-huh. Yeah, my dad's leaving for good, and so it was kind of like a last goodbye, saying, you know, just putting some closure on that.
How did it feel?
Interesting. There were some things that happened in life. We can talk about that. My pathway to Fresh Farm that were steps away from Iowa, but
right.
Definitely, it's a good place. You know, people are generally nice to one another, and it's a little bit slower pace.
Right.
So it was good. There's some things that I've said goodbye to a long time ago, though.
But interesting, maybe in the way that Iowa is also existed at a very crucial intersection of food and agriculture,
yeah.
In a totally different
very
way.
Very different, yes, way than what we're doing, but super instrumental in bringing me here today, yes, to sit with you and talk.
Well, let's talk about that. You're here in D.C. now, and as the ED for how long you've been?
9 months.
9 months. Mm-hmm. And what? So how did you get in to here to D.C. and then into that role?
Yeah, so I've been in D.C. about a decade. My partner is how I got here, but we were living in St. Louis, where I was really connected to the local food scene. I had done a couple of things there. I was involved with sustainability education and community building, part of which was teaching fourth graders a comparative analysis of industrial agriculture and small-scale sustainable agriculture, which is awesome.
You taught that to fourth graders?
To fourth graders. It was a really liberal school, very flexible, and started out getting connected to some local farmers and getting them out there to the farms to see what was going on there. And then I had a parent come into my classroom. She was like, well, I'm the head of HR for North America for Monsanto, and you're brainwashing our kids. And I was like, well, fair point. So we introduced
her. She said, that's our job. We're supposed to do the brainwashing around here.
So she got us connected to some really big farmers, some big field crop farmers, and introduced them to them too, and gave the kids the opportunity to
make their own.
Yeah,
wow.
Which is ultimately a better scenario. So at the end of the day, they wanted to be Farmer Chris, who's the small-scale sustainable farmer. I know, it was great.
Thank goodness. That's I've never heard of anything like that, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was great.
Getting kids to think about, I've spent a lot of time talking to kids about food and, you know, trying to get them to maybe, you know, think about it a little more broadly and open them up to things,
yeah.
But that sounds incredible.
That was actually one of the things that really drew me to Fresh Farm was that it's this combination of both our strong work with farmers and the network of farmers that are at our markets, but then also this really strong and deeply rooted education program that's working in 13 DCPS elementary schools and doing a very similar thing where it's deep engagement in over the course of the school year, actually even more so because they're, you know, over the course of from pre-K through fifth grade, a kid's going to go through a Food Prince classroom once a month.
Yeah. That is the Food Prince program.
Yeah.
Good. So let's start real quick talking about Fresh Farm and what Fresh Farm does here in D.C. and actually in the greater beyond D.C.
Yeah, the Mid-Atlantic region is kind of our footprint. So there's two main programmatic sides. What I like to do is I like to start with why are we doing it, which is the what's resonates with me is that what we eat matters and how we access it does too. And so that's at the heart really of what Fresh Farm is trying to drive forward and answer for that greater region. So how we do that is that we create these community gathering places. And what I like to think of is we build bridges between the rural society and the rural communities and folks that have the farms there and then us city folks who really want to eat great food and need access to it and want connections to what it means to grow our food. So our farmers markets, we said 15 across the city, are a really strong part of what we do. The other side of our programmatic area is our education programs, and Food Prince is at the heart of that. So working deeply with kids over time to build food preferences and grow awareness.
And Fresh Farm is, just so we get the whole story, we've started in
21 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Bernie and Anne,
yep.
Well known here in D.C., started this as a way to, I mean, it's a little hard to go back in time, but to imagine a city that didn't really have a strong tradition of farm markets. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. The way that I've been introduced to it, and obviously this is before I lived in D.C., but actually the legend was large. I actually heard about Fresh Farm markets when I was living in St. Louis. One of the things that I did in St. Louis was start a farmer's market, and so the lore of Fresh Farm had long legs and a broad reach, but that there really wasn't a great way to connect. You know, if you were an individual, you wanted good, healthy, locally grown food, it was really hard to connect with farmers. There were a couple of markets across the city, but that Fresh Farm was about sort of bringing that more to the mainstream. And that DuPont was our flagship market in doing that.
And still is, right?
Yeah, it still definitely is.
So you come in to this organization, though, at a time of transition.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Bernie and Anne have
retired. Yeah.
And what was that like?
Well, Bernie and Anne are definitely still very present in the community. They have strong ties to D.C., so it was great. I've gotten to sit down and connect with both of them multiple times over the past 9 months. But I still think that we're in this year, maybe a little bit more, of transition where we're saying, this is what we were for the past 20 years. What do we want to be, and what does this city and this region need us to be for the next 20 years? So it's actually, for me, a really exciting time. I love this stuff. And visioning what's the story that we're going to be telling, and how are we going to be really meeting an authentic need.
Which is changing, right? I mean, one thing that you're facing, I think that we're all facing, is the fact that, and it's one thing I hear from growers, a lot of whom I work with here in our kitchens, but also I know they're at the markets in Tacoma, Tacoma Park, and at DuPont and Penn, and is that the markets are changing, and people's what they're buying in the markets is changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you guys are kind of at the center of that, right? Is trying to respond to that, keep this.
So I would say that over the past 20 years, our markets have changed quite a bit. And this is a conversation that I have almost every week at markets with the farmers, is that what they're planting, what they're bringing to market, how they're bringing it to market is really changing. And a lot of that is reflective of how D.C. has changed over the past 20 years. We're a younger city. We're a whiter city, for better or for worse. And we're a wealthier city. So that demographic is different. So one of the things that I hear a lot is that nobody knows what to do with an eggplant anymore, but those salad greens, they just can't get enough of them. And so farmers are definitely responding in that way. We're trying to get as much information to the farmers as possible, understand what's driving our customer base, and then also thinking about how do we meet the broad cross section of DC, because DC isn't just young and wealthy and white. It's a really diverse city. I think that's one of the things that makes DC different than any other city, at least in this country, is that it really is this amazing mixed diversity.
Is there an issue with farmers markets as, is it, I don't know if it's an image thing or is it a reality that farmers markets can represent gentrification in a city that has, you know, that a city like DC.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough issue. Uh-huh. So I think that you can look at, you know, where our markets are, and there are definitely a lot of markets in some areas of the city that have changed or are changing. But there are also these areas that are on this cusp. So they are drawing in lots of different people. So drawing in DC residents that rely heavily on nutrition assistance benefits, that some of them are young professionals, some of them are families. And I think that's actually a great sweet spot. What we have to do is make sure that our markets are welcoming and have something for everybody.
Does Fresh Farm do anything specifically to help people with access cost-wise?
Yeah, so around nutrition assistance benefits, so I talked about the two areas of programming, and I would actually say that that's deeply embedded into both of those. So at our markets, we work to grow the purchasing power of some of our most vulnerable residents. So increasing what they can buy at markets by matching their nutrition assistance benefits. This is hot and in the news right now because of some things with SNAP going on. Uh-huh.
We promise our listeners we're not going to get too far into farm.
We're not going into that. We're not going too far into that.
But it's important. Yeah. And it's especially important, I think, with access. And so is it a matching program?
Yeah, it's a matching program. So they bring $10 of nutrition assistance benefits. We'll match $10 of that so that they can double their purchasing at the market and towards fresh fruits, vegetables.
And that's a Fresh Farm specific program.
That is a Fresh Farm specific program. There are a number of allied organizations across the city who are doing similar things. Actually, one of the things that I've been most excited about is the FINNY program, which is a food incentive nutrition something acronym. We're working with two other organizations that also run farmers markets across DC in thinking about how do we bring these programs into alignment. So you might go to farmers market in Columbia Heights, which is not a Fresh Farm market. You might get matching dollars, matching token certificates. And then you might have some of that left over. So you could take that down to DuPont over the weekend and spend that there. So really trying to bring those practices into alignment, which for me, one of the things in the two decades I've worked in the nonprofit world, I've really loved the idea of working more in collaboration and not seeing these allied organizations as competitors, but really ways to do more and do better, reach more people.
And I wonder if, do you ever feel a tension between the communities that you serve as a market and your growers and serving the interests of your growers? Is there I kind of feel that myself. I would love to hear if you have thoughts about that.
Well, I think that's our job, uh-huh, is to bridge that. I keep coming back to that image of what our role is, and that's to be a bridge. So early on over the winter, I was at DuPont, and this mom came kind of up all flustered, and we were talking to one of our orchardists. She was like, I need to know, are your apples organic? And she said, I have this 2-year-old, and she's allergic to everything, and you know, I need to only buy organic apples. And my first thought, I'm a mom of a 2-year-old. I was like, whew, so bad that's not me. But you know, he said, we practice integrated pest management, and this is what happens on our farm, and this is what we do when we see a problem. And no, it's not certified organic, but here's what you know. And I think that's what our markets can do, is to help a mom that's feeling frazzled to have that picture into what it actually takes to grow that apple, because it turns out growing fruit organically is really hard
here in the Mid-Atlantic,
especially this summer.
Yeah.
And so I think that we need to be helping to tell that story. We're storytellers. What happens on the farm? What does it take to get your food to the market? And then on the flip side, making sure that our farmers know the story of who's your customer, what do they need, what are they looking for. You know, how do you be better about sharing a little bit of what what your farm is like and what that farming life is like. So they're invested in it.
It seems to me that that's, you know, farmers markets at their best, that's happening about a million times a day. But there, it, to me, I also feel that like CSAs are something that have you know, have been around for a long time. And there's data now that kind of suggests that a lot of people don't really stick with it over time. There's kind of a lifespan that people will, of course, some people are lifetime CSA members, and some people try it for a couple of years or a couple of seasons and then kind of drop off. And I'm just wondering, you know, if bring that kind of conversation back to farmers markets, is it still, do you still believe in it, farmers markets and the farmers markets that Fresh Farm operates as great ways to support farmers? Is it still, do they still serve farmers as well as they should? And I think because, and I bring that up in light of kind of the changing food landscape that we're all a part of.
It's a great question. It's a question that I think we need to take to the heart as we're looking at the next 20 years. I do think that markets, farmers markets, and that community gathering place really is one of the things that Fresh Farm does best. It's what makes us unique in this DC landscape where there's a lot of great people doing good things around food. I think the role of markets is shifting, and there was this huge expansion of markets over the past 20 years. So every neighborhood wants their farmers market. You do surveys of some of these neighborhoods, and you know, number one thing that they say, the amenity that they're looking for, is a farmers market. That doesn't mean that every neighborhood can actually host a successful market. So I think that it has to be this synergy between the serving the needs of the neighborhood while also serving the needs of the market. It has to be economically viable for a farmer to be there, to come in on their Wednesday or their Saturday. And they might be driving up to 200 miles to get here. They might be paying a staff member to do that. So it can't be an economic loss for them. It has to be building towards their future.
Is there a risk when you start to, I just want to push you a little bit on this, because this is, I think markets are so important and you guys are at the heart of it, but is there a risk when we start to refer to them as community gathering places and you've got a farmer on the other side of this is like, look, I'm here to sell produce. And are we taking the emphasis or the focus away from that crucial function of getting value back to growers and kind of broadening it or kind of diluting it? Is that?
Yeah, so I appreciate that you're pushing. There's a farmer at DuPont who loves to push me on this. I'll leave it to you to determine which one that is.
There's a handful that jumped to mind.
You know, and he, I'll give you that hint, he said to me one of my early days, he was like, you know, this isn't about the customers, this is about the farmers. And I was like, yeah, but if you don't have the customers, then you're not going to have the farm in the long run. And so to me, it's this synergy. So like, yeah, maybe I'm taking that middle road, but I do think that you have to pay attention to both. It really can't be one or the other. So I think that it has to be this place where we're bringing both of those together. So when I say community gathering place, it's not just about like, hey, calling up your friend and saying, let's meet at the market. That's great. I mean, I love that. I love bringing my kid to the market, which goes back to my deep roots to be drawn to this work. But when I think about the community, it's almost building a new community. It's building the community of that neighborhood, along with the farmers being a key part of what's driving that community. If we don't have food, we don't have communities.
So the farmers are complaining their sales are down and they don't like to see, you know, I hear a lot of, I'm hearing it too. I don't have a specific answer when they don't like alcohol, a lot of them. They don't like prepared foods. I'm not saying they don't like it, but they resent it a little bit, or, and they're saying, well, people aren't shopping.
Liquor Lane. I've been.
Yeah. So how do you respond? I mean, cause it's crucial. And you know, at the end of the day, it may just be that that food culture has picked up and left, the food culture where you have people with giant shopping bags stuffed full of produce and are there for their weekly shopping or a big part of it.
Yeah, I think, I actually think this is going to be a really interesting trend to watch over the next 10 years. So we're coming out of this time in the lifespan of DC, or what it means to be a resident in DC, where you had a lot of 20 to 35 year olds moving to the city. And you know, when I moved here, I was 30, and it was very transient. Lots of people that I knew then left. But now you're getting to this place where a lot of those people have stayed, and they're starting families, and they're digging in, and they've got roots. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see what comes back around. Like, do those people start cooking more? Are they looking at, what do I do with that eggplant and that winter squash? So part of it is that. I also think that you're talking about more broadly, what's the role of producers at the market? You and I have talked about this word. Is producer the right word? Is it purveyor? So this is a place I'm really interested in taking a deep look at. Like, the producers at markets, so these are people who are providing prepared foods. They're sometimes thought of as concessionaires, liquor, coffee. And I think that they have this interesting role in driving the local food movement now. So, you know, one of the things that we incentivize is buy your food from local farmers to be adding into your prepared. It's actually a requirement that we have. So we want to see you increasing the amount of locally sourced food that you...
What is the requirement?
you're hitting on a sensitive topic. So we look at your menu, and we say that we want to see 75% of what you're offering to be sourcing from local products. So that might mean that you're a popsicle vendor, and 3 out of the 4 flavors that you provide are, you know, watermelon, blueberry, and peach, and then you might have a coconut. We know coconut's not local.
But coconut tastes so
good. But it's so good on a summer day. Or, you know, you might be... a big problem is bakers, and I know that you've been intimately involved in this discussion. There's just not enough grain vendors in the Mid-Atlantic region to source. There's a few. It's growing, but...
I don't know if it's I would probably say it's maybe not so much not enough, but that the cost differential is still daunting for some.
Good point. Great. So I think that, you know, on that side, how do we be really supporting and encouraging local sourcing? On the other side of it, the producers in our network have amazing and fascinating stories. They're entrepreneurs. A tremendous amount of them have an immigrant story behind there, and I hear things like, you know, these are the roots of what my family did in X, Y, or Z country, and this is allowing us to get back to those roots. And I think that's fascinating. Now, the question that we need to ask is that what Fresh Farm is doing, and how do we link that very closely into driving that what we eat matters and how we access it does too.
It seems essential. I mean, if you don't do that, then you're kind of denying that things are changing and evolving in a city like DC, which they clearly are.
Yeah.
You're in a sense denying that we have immigrant communities here and that they are part of our world and our evolving cuisine here, right?
Yeah, and I actually think, going back to the comment that I made, that DC is very unique, at least in the cities that I've lived in and visited, in that it's this very, it's as integrated as I've been able to see. And a lot of that has to do with these immigrant communities that have come in, and they really are just a strong part of the community fabric.
And you want them at the farmer's market.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great.
I couldn't agree more. The worst thing I've ever heard that a farmer told me that was told to him, I just wanted to get this out and over with, is that this grower should look at the farmer's market, his presence at the farmer's market, as a way to develop his brand. And I thought that was so, again, I mean, I just wanted to get your take on that, because I was a little bit offended by that. When you think about the work that our farmers do, kind of in some sense, is some of the hardest work that there is and some of the most important work. And that the farmer's market for them is still a crucial part of their of the economics of being a farmer. And luckily these growers that we're talking about are the ones that are raising actual food, you know, that ends up on a table somewhere and not in a trough, you know,
absolutely.
So given all that, I felt like, you know, it's possible that if we get ahead of ourselves and we stop valuing appropriately what growers actually do, the actual food that ends up that they're providing, then we really start to miss something. And I wanted to get your take on that.
Well, it's an interesting, I would say that his brand is growing good local food. And so it's an interesting way of looking at it. It's very much sort of feeding into the commercial landscape and economy. And that's what I think that he or farmers in general need to be a part of that and be thinking about it. And for me, I think farmers markets and fresh farm are really about driving sustainability, and sustainability for us at the regional level. So I'm a subscriber of the triple bottom line of sustainability. So things need to be good for the environment. They need to be good for health of humans, health of the animals that they're taking care of. And that it needs to be an economically viable solution. And so
people, planet, profit.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's gotcha. Much short, more eloquent and short,
no, not
to
really,
the point.
Just shorthand. Yeah.
And so I think that when someone's talking about raising their brand, they're thinking about how do I make this more economically viable for my family to stay in the farming business.
For me, it was the disconnect for me was that a grower showing up to pay bills, and it wasn't a promotional opportunity.
Sure.
And right. That was where I didn't want that to. That didn't sit well with
it's
me,
just not you want it to be more than just commerce. It's an experience.
Well, but I also want the farmer to walk, drive home with a big fat wad of cash in his
pocket. Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It needs to be something that is net profitable for them.
So I see this comes out two ways for me. We end up with a quote food system, or we end up eating food that comes from God knows where, produced by huge factory farms, usually run through some huge factory and ends up on grocery store shelves. Or we actually get a food system that includes, despite I think all the pressures that are on it, farms. Why is it important to have, and maybe this, I'm not trying to answer my own question, am I? No. Why is it still important to have farms in our midst, in a region like
this? I had this conversation yesterday where this woman was talking about the up and coming generation that's very tied into our environmental impact, much more so, which is great.
Yes.
But that their answer to that was to actually be eating more artificial foods. And to me, that again,
wait a minute. Well,
I know. It seemed because that it could be done in with less water, with less energy intensive. So for example, and that everybody has their own choices. Do you want to eat sort of a processed meatless burger, or do you want to eat a meat filled burger from a local organic sustainable farm? I think there's arguments to be made on both sides of that. I personally have made a choice to fall on the I want to eat real food side of this, things that are minimally processed. And actually part of this for me, this is me speaking personally, goes back to Iowa, because there's big factory farms in Iowa all over the landscape that oftentimes the products that are growing there are going into highly processed foods. And the intensity of that and the downstream effects of health of the community, and there's...
the literal downstream effect of the health of the Gulf of Mexico in this case.
Right. Or even, you hear about the Des Moines River and... I think they call it, which is a terrible name, Blue Baby Syndrome, where it's just, they're giving people warnings that their kids shouldn't be drinking the water because of that. Now, how do you tie it all back to healthy farming practices, healthy for us? So I fall on the side of farms are about where we grow food, real food, that is the healthiest thing for me to be consuming and for me to be feeding my family. And so I want that for my entire community.
It seems like we struggle, though, because with that equation or our ability to kind of see outcomes beyond this tastes really good, or maybe this is really cheap, or the combination of it tastes good, it's cheap, and it's super convenient. And what I've been hoping for a long time is a broader conversation about outcomes that include that, because you can't really get away from how much things cost and how easy it is to prepare, in a sense, and how good it tastes. I'm a chef. I don't want to stop talking about that or thinking about that. But the outcomes that are around health, community, environment, it seems like that's where Fresh Farm really could play the or help growers, and I think all of us understand a little more about that.
I love it, because that's definitely sort of when I am looking forward at the next 5, 10, 20 years for Fresh Farm. I think that's one of the things that we're uniquely positioned to be driving forward, helping people to understand the benefits of eating healthy. Ultimately, health, when you're looking at the triple bottom line,
yes,
people, profit, planet, people usually trumps everything. So people care about their own health. They care about the health of their family members, of their neighbors. And so that is a great intersection place to get them hooked on eating well and eating healthy, eating local. It tends to be that there's certain times in somebody's life where you can make an intervention to help them to change their eating habits after they have a child, the birth of their child, and when they have a family member pass away, are two places where they're really thinking about the choices that they make and how that impacts those outcomes.
So taking all that into account and this changing landscape that we've just been talking about, if I walked into the DuPont Circle Farmers Market 10 years from now, what do you think I am going to experience? What would you hope? Or, I mean, can you kind of...
10 years is a long time. If I had to look into my crystal ball, and don't hold me to this, but I actually think DuPont will be a bigger market. I think that it'll continue to have this draw as a landmark. It will be, you know, the notable farmer's market in the Mid-Atlantic.
So who's selling there? What are they selling?
So I think that there's definitely, I believe this today, and I believe this 10 years from now, that you walk into a farmer's market and the first thing and the most prominent thing you need to see are farmers. Mm-hmm. And you need to be very clearly able to see that they are farmers. So it's short-sighted of me, but I can't get beyond that. A market, even 10 years from now, needs to be about conversations. It needs to be about the people who are in the cities not growing their food, or maybe they have a small garden and they want advice from that farmer, have the opportunity to connect directly. So it is in a world that is rapidly going towards, you know, online shopping and the virtual experience, this is a real tangible experience. And everything you read about retail, that's what's still successful, is when you can cultivate an experience for people that can't be replicated in an online transaction.
And that's a farmer's market to its core.
Right.
So who is shopping at this market of the future?
Diversity. Who's shopping at the market? DC is shopping at the market.
Young, old.
All of the above. Uh-huh. So I would love to see in 5 years, not even 10 years, what I'd love to see is the place at DuPont where there's the Food Prints class or the Food Prints experience at the market. So, I go there with my kid and she's super psyched because she can, plant a seed and she's looking at the different parts of the plant and she's talking about what it's like when you pull up carrots from the ground. And so it's extending that experience. I give this to her at home because I am who I am, but anybody could get that experience at the markets too. So, there's young kids, there's, people who are retired, who have different kinds of nutrition assistance benefits that they depend on. And it really is this coming together of the diversity of DC. So it's, you walk into DuPont 5 or 10 years from now, and it's everything that makes DC great.
So speaking of coming together, if we talk about what's going to happen here.
Let's talk about it.
Yes. So we've got the feast coming up.
We do. So Fresh Farm's sort of annual big event is the feast, and we're super psyched to be working with you.
I'm super psyched to have it here at the Line Hotel. And we're going to bring some really great chefs together, and we're going to cook great local food from a lot of the vendors that are in the markets all season long.
Yeah, I think that this year's feast, more than ever, is going to be defined by a true celebration of the fall bounty. I think everything we've talked about, soup to nuts is going to be local. So local cocktails, perhaps.
No, the whole
yeah, line. Local Always. Desserts, yes. Local, yeah, local everything about it. So local music, I think, is going to be a part of it.
I love thinking, I think one of the very first times I came to DC, did an event and felt like I was part of something. It's interesting because it was Fresh Farm was one of the first events I ever came. I brought my little appetizers. I set them up. I had a great time and met a lot of great chefs and folks behind the scenes. And then it was Ann Yonkers, I have to give her credit, who came to Baltimore and said, we want you to be on the board and work with us at Fresh Farm. And that was way before any of this was even contemplated, and I've been, you know, involved with the markets and becoming aware of DC kind of through Fresh Farm as much as anything else. And it's been an incredible part of my kind of journey to DC. We were just talking about that in the beginning, and now to kind of bring it full circle, to have it here in the hotel and to be a part of the feast in this way is tremendously exciting. It's gonna be a great night. If you want to know more about Fresh Farm, how do people do
that? Good question. Yes. Our website is a great resource. Uh-huh. So freshfarm.org is a good go-to place. All of our social media feeds, Fresh Farm DC is our handle. But then also, what I would say, the best way to get to know Fresh Farm is to go to our markets, check out if there's a Food Prince school in your neighborhood, get involved there. We love volunteers in the school classrooms. So really, that experience, come out, experience it, join our community. We're looking forward to having you there.
Very cool. I really appreciate you coming by, talking about this.
Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to the feast. And thanks for listening to Origins here, broadcasting from Adams Morgan Line Hotel.